Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's two-wheel podcast. Joining me all the way from, well, he's just got back from Thailand actually, is Motorsport.com's global MotoGP editor, Oriol Puigdemont, and I'm, of course, your host, Autosport's motorcycle racing correspondent, Lewis Duncan, and Marc Márquez is now an eight-time Grand Prix World Champion, six times in the MotoGP class, Superlatives fail, Yuri, because this is an incredible rider. I mean, four races to go, 110 point advantage in the championship. What left is there to say about Marc Márquez? This surely must be his greatest season ever.
Yes, I think so. I've been talking with Santi Hernandez, his track engineer, and he told me that this season was the best season so far for him, because maybe 2014 was a bit more spectacular. The numbers, the statistics there were a bit more spectacular, especially with those 10 first victories of the on the first 10 races. But considering the level of the competition at the moment, I think the value of this championship is ahead of the one in 2014, and they agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, 2014 statistically still stands as his best championship, 13 race wins, but yeah, you look back at 2014 and only Honda and Yamaha were winning. Ducati weren't really competitive. There was no satellite riders that were competitive. You look this season, we've had Suzuki winning, we've had Ducati winning, we've had Yamaha winning, we've had Pramac Ducati up there, we've had Sepang team up there with Quartararo, and in Thailand, of course, he went toe-to-toe with Quartararo again, but and had to fight for that one.
2014, he had more victories at the moment, but this season, he has more points than then. 2014, I think, if I remember well, he got at this exactly stage, he was having 312, and I think at the moment he's 325, so it's even better in terms of global numbers. Less wins, but more points, which in the end is what it counts.
Indeed, and of course, every race this season, apart from Austin, he's finished inside the top two, which, given the competitive nature of MotoGP now, is an incredible thing. I mean, Andrea Dovizioso, his nearest, in inverted commas, championship rival, said, you know, this championship that Márquez has done is incredible for modern MotoGP. We've talked about it before. If you look at where all the other Honda riders have been this year and again in Thailand, what Márquez is doing on this bike is just genius. There's no other way to describe it. It's amazing.
Yeah, even the others. I mean, every time he hits a track, he does spectacular things. Don't forget the crash he had on Friday. And then he went to the hospital. He was back for the FP2. And then he jumped into the bike, and then, boom, he was the P1. In the end, I think he was P6, but because he didn't put new tires. But he's all the time doing like this. Even on Sunday, the victory was not neat for him because Dovi was far behind. So, but this his nature. I mean, it's not that he was attacking for no. It's just him. So, speaking with his team, they say we cannot figure out where's the limit of this guy, because every time he jumps into the bike, he tries to do its best. And but they underline that the difference between Mark and all the others is that for him, the MotoGP is a hobby. He loves to be there. He loves to be at the track working with his team, because they are like I don't know if saying that in English is properly. They call themselves like a secta, but secta in a good way. Like a, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like a family, like a
exactly. Yeah, I mean, so we call like the mafia because they are laughing all the time. They are making jokes to each other all the time. So they are when they are away from the races, they are looking forward to be at the track again, to make jokes, to you know that's what. Make the difference because you cannot see this relationship, this feeling in all the other boxes.
It reminds me a little bit of how things used to be at Honda with Nicky Hayden, how he had that really, really lovely atmosphere with his crew and he was first guy out on track in a test and last guy in at the end of a day. He was so dedicated to motorcycle racing and it's... You know, you see that in Marquez and the way he went about after that crash in FP1, the fact he came back, did a 17-lap race run or whatever it was, low 131 pace. You know, we asked, did this crash rattle him? We got our answer emphatically in qualifying where he knew he was going to crash, but he was still pushing anyway for a pole position he didn't need. And it just goes to show you just how much he loves this sport, how much he wants every single ounce from that bike, how much he wants every pole, every point, even when he doesn't need it. It just, there, as you say, there's no other rider in the grid that really shows that. There's always, there never seems to be any stress with Marquez. You know, he knows he's doing the best job in the world and he just seems to love life.
But don't forget that when he makes a mistake, he's the first one to take the responsibility for that mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's another important thing that makes him different from all the others. So, and to me, it makes him even more dangerous because, I mean, if you take your mistakes and you say, okay, this one, it's my responsibility, is the first step to get stronger. So, because it means that you don't have any fear on showing your weaknesses. Everybody have weaknesses, but if you admit those weaknesses, is the first step to get better and better.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, we've seen this from Marquez over his career. You think back to 2015 where he was crashing all the time. He wasn't riding properly. He admitted that at the end of the year and then came into 2016 with this new philosophy, whereas if I can't win, I'll just settle for points, and then if I can win, I will push. I'll push harder for those wins, and that's really been the key, I think, over the certainly these past three or four championships. Given that the bike hasn't been capable of winning a championship under normal circumstances with a normal rider, let's say. Marquez has obviously made the difference in his talent, but it's clear that his approach, as you say, the way he learns from mistakes and admits that has been the key.
Yeah, I would say that Honda was able to find those extra horsepower on this bike last winter. Honda was working very hard to try to get those extra horsepower on that engine because the engineers thought, okay, this guy will find a way to ride that beast. And in the end, that's what happened. So, but he's the only one capable of riding that bike. But Honda said, okay, we're going to give you more power. But then you will have to figure out how to control the bike. And in fact, he's the only one controlling the bike and not only controlling the bike but being the fastest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've seen those races where he couldn't quite control the bike, he was second. You know, that's a bad day for Marc Marquez is second place, a terrible day for Marc Marquez is third. You know, no one else has that consistency, and you have to feel that going forward, unless riders can find that consistency where they can outperform their bikes on bad days, they're not going to beat Marquez. There's only one rider, I think, right now that has the possibility to really take Marquez, you know, a title challenge to the finish, and that's Quartararo, because he seems to...
Yeah, I mean,
he seems to absorb that pressure that, you know, we saw that again in Thailand, how he let for all that race and didn't crack once.
I partially agree, because in the end, Quartararo has not won yet.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. He's getting there though. He's getting close. He was a corner away from it this time.
To me, I was talking about that after the race. To me, Mark on that race was thinking on the future already. So I'm not gonna let you win, because we are already on that battle. You know what I mean? So Dobby was not there. Maverick was not there. The only one behind him really close, I mean, it was most of the race in front of him, was Fabio. So on that point, Mark, to me, he was already thinking on the future, on next year. So the 2020 battle has already started.
Watching that race, there was a great picture of Fabio posted on his social media on Sunday that was both him and Marquez breaking into the last corner, back wheels in the air, you know, Marquez a bit sideways. And I just thought, oh, see if that's next year. That's going to be brilliant. I'm so excited for that. I mean, we really do have a really great championship battle on our hands next year if Quartararo displays that he can keep this pace, which I think he can. I think he's shown enough that he is going to be a challenger next year. But let's just go back to Marquez. 8 world championships. You know, there's only 2 years this last decade that he's not won a championship. Even though he's still racing and he still has got at least another 10 years in front of him, is it appropriate to call him a legend now?
I mean, to me, absolutely. I mean, no doubt about it. Let's see where the time puts him on the history. But to me, he's a legend already. And I mean, if we call Mick Doohan a legend, why don't call Mark a legend as well? So, but the thing is, where's the limit of this guy? How many titles he's gonna get? Because he's only 26, he has probably, as you say, 8-10 years at the maximum. So I cannot see him living on the next probably 3 years, so not before 2022. And then I think, but it's just a personal feeling, I don't have any information, but to me, maybe after 2022, he will be at the time, he will be ready for another challenge. So let's see, because he's very happy with Honda. Honda is very happy with him, of course. But now, after Alberto Puig's arrival, he feels really, really, really comfortable there. He feels loved, really, really loved in Honda, and that's more important for him, apart from the money, of course. But I would say that maybe not this contract, not next contract, but the other one, maybe he will be ready for another huge challenge.
No one criticizes Senna, for example, for winning all his championships in McLaren. You know, it's no one's doubting that he's a legend. We've seen Mark, he's won on these bikes for the past, there's only 3 MotoGP titles he's won that were on good bikes, 2013, 14, and the bike last year was okay. But you know, you think 2016, 17, this year, the bike hasn't been, it's not been the best bike on the grid. It's arguably been maybe the third or fourth best bike on the grid. You know, he's done, I think he's proven everything. He doesn't need to go anywhere else to prove anything. He's proven everything.
Same, but I mean, it's not only because of what people think, but I mean that the sportsmen, the athletes, need challenges to keep at the maximum. So that's what I think, that not he doesn't care about what people think, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being and keeping the same the same level that he has at the moment. So I think that this next challenge would be the fuel that he needs to keep that level.
Looking back as well, we look at, there's obviously this comparison between Marquez and Rossi, and it's a difficult one to compare the two of them. For you, where do you think Marquez lies in the list of champions that he stands? Where do you think he sits? You know, is he ahead of Rossi? Is he?
I think this is a really, of course, it's a personal, choice, but it's a personal choice. But at the same time, to me, he's the best. Mark, for me, but it's my opinion, and I probably don't have any arguments to deny your opinion anybody's opinion who believe that Rossi is the best. I don't have any arguments. It's just my personal feeling. Why? Because the level of the competition at the moment is much higher than the one it was when Rossi was winning. But I can understand, and I don't forget that we cannot blame Valentino for that, because he was winning to the riders who were racing against him. So he was not able to win against Mark, against Casey, against Jorge, because they were not there. So maybe if they were there, he would have been able to win them, even. So that's the point. That's why I think that the truth is not a point on that answer. I mean, it's just personal opinions. To me, Mark is the best. Why? I can give you my arguments, but then you can say, no, Valentino is the best because of this. Okay, I agree. I mean, I agree. I respect that opinion.
Yeah, it's a tricky one as well, because Grand Prix racing's changed so much over the decades. I mean, you know, you'll get people that would say, personally, I would say perhaps the greatest rider of all time is someone like Mike Hailwood, who had all those championships, but he was winning on places like the TT, the Isle of Man TT, and you know, those crazy road circuits. You know, for me, and then you look at, say, the 70s, you've got, well, you know, you've got Kenny Roberts. Kenny Roberts was almost like Marquez in that he came in and just changed the game in terms of riding. Yeah. You know, and you can't discount Mick Doohan. You cannot discount Wayne Rainey. You know, there's all these great guys. And going even further back, Agostini, Surtees, Jeff Duke. It's, you, even to pick a great from a decade, it would be too hard. You'd have to look at it as such of, you know, level of competition, level of competitive bikes. You know, for me, Mark sits sort of, if someone twisted my arm and said, look, you need to pick three of the best riders ever, I would have to say it would be Hailwood, Roberts, and Mark, because of just how naturally quick they were. They could ride anything fast.
The thing is that another point that, now that you mentioned this, is that like Hailwood and Roberts, Mark has stepped up the level of the riding. So now he's changed the riding style of not only his riding style, but the whole grid riding styles. So now how they approach the corners, how the lean angle, so all these things, Mark has made a step up. So that's why you probably choose Hailwood, Roberts, and Mark. So that's not another argument. But again, I have no authority to deny any other's opinion. You know what I mean?
It's a great pub debate. It's one of those ones you could be in the pub for hours and hours and hours, and you would never agree
on
a list.
We have to recover that time to time.
But yeah, I mean, but even Rossi, the way Rossi came about, and the way Rossi, Rossi changed styles with the leg dangle, that became something. Maybe it wasn't as sort of didn't make as much a difference as, say, Mark did with the elbow out, or Roberts did with sliding the 500s, because, I mean, no one slid a 500 before Roberts came along. But Rossi, what Rossi did for motorcycle Grand Prix racing is sort of what the likes of Barry Sheen and Jeff Duke did. They put it on a mainstream platform. They became celebrities. They made this. They were so important for exposure of the sport.
Yeah, they made this disciplinary, this sport universal.
You know, without Rossi, then no one would be able to see Mark be as amazing as he is. And to be fair, without Rossi and the exposure he gave MotoGP, the chances are we might not have had this really competitive championship right now, because there'd be no interest in the sport, there'd be no money coming into the sport. And
100%.
So it's, you know, it's there's so many things to it, and it's you're never going to agree. But
all of the riders have to be really grateful to Valentino.
Yeah, for
what
sure.
He has done in the last 20 years of racing.
For sure.
So no doubt about it.
I think no one's ever going to agree on who the greatest is, but I think what we can agree on is the fact that pick any decade in history and you're going to see some of the most amazing things you've ever seen on a motorcycle, and I think that's good enough for me. You know, I'm glad I've been able to spend my entire life watching Rossi race. I'm so glad I've been able to write about Marc Marquez and the amazing things he does in a bike, and I look forward to writing about Fabio Quartararo when the next 10 World Championships.
It will be interesting to see what Yamaha does with this kit.
I think one thing we can all agree on is the fact that MotoGP, like we mentioned last time, is the best thing ever, and in the next decade it's going to be even better, and it doesn't matter who the best is.
100%, especially if we have these like outsiders, because we can consider Fabio an outsider, emerging that fast. I mean, that's amazing. That's a really, really, really good story to write and to talk about.
Because it gives so much hope as well for young talents coming up from Moto2. Like, anyone now can come up, as long as they're on a good bike, you know, anyone can come up and win in MotoGP now. And it's not because there's like a gimmick in the championship. It's just because everyone coming up is so competitive and the bikes are so competitive.
Don't forget that we've seen something special on this kid when he was racing in the Spanish Championship. So it's not coming up from nothing, from nowhere. I mean, he was showing a lot of potential. Then at some point, he just stopped the progression. But don't forget that he was called the anti-market, the next Valentino Rossi, blah, 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 blah. A lot of pressure on him. So, and the kid then started to feel the pressure. There was something on him that made him really special.
Yeah, it's the same thing, like you say, was billed as the next Marquez, the next Rossi. It's the same thing that Marquez has played in his junior career, and the same thing Rossi displayed. There is that special thing. But, I mean, we've got a lot of great kids coming up. Alex Marquez, you know, you look at Brad Binder. I'm really looking forward to seeing Brad on the KTM next year. And in Moto3 as well, there's so many quick kids coming up. So another nice positive note to end it on. We'll wrap up there. If you like what you heard, please do go and listen to all our other podcasts on iTunes via Apple Podcasts, and you can listen to us on Spotify and on Google Podcasts as well. Just search for Tank Slappers, and if you're listening to us on those platforms, please give us a rating, give us a like, give us a subscribe and all that sort of thing. My thanks to Yuri. I know he's exceptionally tired after that long haul flight back from Thailand. We will be back next week to talk more things MotoGP, preview the Japanese Grand Prix, the grueling triple header coming up over the next 3 weeks. But until then, it's a very warm goodbye.